All right, for our morning Bible lesson, I would like us to think about Jesus' obedience to God. So often as Christians, we think about our responsibility to obey God, which is true. We are responsible to obey God. In fact, that's why God saves us, to make us into obedient men and women. But I would like us to focus on what Jesus did for us and how the Bible calls it obedience. So if you will, let's look at a number of passages. Number one, we'll just go through this morning, the brief outline. But number one, Jesus' life's mission was to obey God. In other words, Jesus came and what consumed Jesus' mind, what consumed his actions, what consumed his whole life was that Jesus understood he was here on a mission and his mission was to obey and do and carry out the will of God the Father. It was not for Jesus to break loose and fabricate his own agenda or his own will. But he had one supreme passion, one supreme ambition, and that was to do the will of his heavenly Father. So let's look at some passages this morning. Feel free to follow along if you'd like. Matthew 6, we'll just take these in order. Matthew 6. And we just want to look at these passages that inform us that Jesus was passionate about obeying God. And of course, you can probably sense where I'm going with this. If Jesus was passionate about obeying the will of God the Father, and Jesus delighted to do the will of God the Father, then I should be passionate about doing the will of God as well. So let's go Matthew 6, if you will. Matthew 6. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:10, where the disciples came and they asked, Jesus, teach us how to pray. What should we say? What should be the subject of our praying? What should our concerns be? And then Jesus gave us this wonderful prayer, a model prayer. In fact, it's a model on how to live life. And of course, in verse 9, this is Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus says, "In this manner therefore pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." In other words, may your name be revered, may your name be shown to be sacred, may your name be shown to be all important. Lord, may your name be honored and exalted. And then notice verse 10. What is Jesus' concern? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's Jesus' concern. Jesus, more than anything else, wants God's name to be exalted. And how is it that God's name is going to be exalted? By God's will being done on earth. That's what Jesus wants, and that's what Jesus wants us to pray as well. Jesus wants us to share his passion, his ambition, his drive, his goal to obey God and see to it that God's will is done. Go to Matthew chapter 12, if you will. Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Well, who's part of Jesus' family? That issue comes up here. And Jesus has a rather interesting answer about who's really his family. If you're there in Matthew 12, notice verse 46. Matthew 12, 46. While Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, Jesus' mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to Jesus, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you." But Jesus answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And Jesus stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." In other words, Jesus considers the most important thing to be done in life is the will of God. Jesus considers the most delightful thing, the most honorable thing to do in life is to do the will of God. He who does the will of my Father. Jesus doesn't say, "He who does my will." He who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, it's like Jesus' concern is always about the reputation of God the Father in heaven. If you will, go to chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 15. Oh, I think that's the wrong verse. Let me check here again. Oh, excuse me, 18. I was looking at the wrong line here. chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So Jesus had just told the story of the lost sheep, how the shepherd goes forth to seek that which is lost, and the shepherd will go far and wide and will leave the other sheep and just go out and do everything absolutely necessary to find that one lost sheep. No effort, no amount of energy is not appropriate to go after that one lost sheep. And then Jesus says, even so, it is the will of your Father who is in heaven that not one of these little ones, a child, should perish and be lost from the kingdom of God. The point I want to make here is, what is Jesus concerned about? The will of his Father being done. Jesus is passionate about God's will. Go to chapter 26. Chapter 26. Here we meet Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew chapter 26. And you know, that was a difficult time for Jesus, because Jesus knew what was in store for him when he got to Jerusalem. So in Matthew 26 verse 39 we read, "And Jesus went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed. He prayed saying, Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup," and that's the cup of suffering, the cup of crucifixion, the cup of agony, the cup of his execution on the cross. He says, "Let this cup pass from me. Let me avoid it if that's possible." And then Jesus adds these all-important words. He says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Lord, it's not my will that's important. Lord, it's your will that's all important. And ultimately, Jesus is saying to God the Father, "I'm here. I'm here to carry out your will. I'm here to obey you." Go to John 4. Just go over to the Gospel of John. John 4, 34. Again, we keep reading about Jesus' concern that God's will be done. We learn about Jesus' passion to obey God, his Heavenly Father. John 4 and verse 34. John 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." In other words, Jesus is saying, what sustains me, what keeps me going, what energizes me, what excites me is to do the will of him who sent me. And not just to do the will, but to make sure all of it's done. Every last thing that's supposed to be done is done, that I might finish the work. You see the passion that Jesus has for doing the will of God. Go to chapter 5, if you will. Chapter 5, verse 30. Chapter 5, verse 30, just flip the page. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." I don't seek. I'm not chasing after. I'm not going after. I'm not ambitious for my own will. I'm not selfish, says Jesus. I have only one resolve, only one determination, and that is to do the will of God the Father who sent me on earth to do his will. It's as if Jesus is saying, "I'm here for one reason. I'm here to live a life of perfect 100% total obedience and devotion to the supreme will of God the Father Almighty." If you will, go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 38. Chapter 6, verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then if you will, go to chapter 17. Chapter 17. And this is part of what is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He's praying to God on behalf of his disciples and on all those who would come to believe in him. Jesus is interceding on behalf of all believers. This is John chapter 17. Notice verse 4. John 17 verse 4. "I have glorified you on the earth." That's Jesus speaking and praying to God the Father. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." That was Jesus' passion, to finish the work, to do, to obey everything that God the Father wanted him to do. So the first thing we learn about the obedience of Jesus is that it was his passion, it was his ambition to obey God. It was his life's mission, if you want to put it that way. It was Jesus' life's mission. Number two, the obedience of Jesus is an act of love. The obedience of Jesus is an act of love. If you will, go back to John 10. I think we're still in the Gospel of John. Just go back to chapter 10. We want to note here is that, yes, Jesus obeyed God the Father because Jesus loved God the Father. Jesus also obeyed God the Father and carried out the will of God the Father, which led him to the cross, because Jesus also loved us as well. We often think of Jesus' love for us when Jesus went to the cross, and that's quite appropriate. But Jesus also went to the cross because he so much loved God the Father. If you're there in the Gospel of John chapter 10, notice verse 15. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, in that verse, I don't think those words know simply mean just to have information. I don't think Jesus is saying, as God knows me, so I know, I happen to have inside information about God. I think know here is used in a much deeper way than simply having a lot of facts and figures and knowledge stuffed in the brain. I think what verse 15 is saying, as the Father knows me, as the Father loves me, as the Father delights in me, even so I know, I love, I delight in the Father. And I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep because that's the will of God the Father for me. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I lay it down voluntarily. I lay it down volitionally. I lay it down because I love my Father. I love to do his will. That's my life's mission. I love God. I love the sheep. I want to purchase these sheep with the cost of my own shed blood. That's why I'm doing all of this, says Jesus. If you will, go to the Gospel of John chapter 14. Just flip over a few pages. 14. Here Jesus says something about how we should live, but I think it's indicative of his relationship with God the Father. Notice John 14, verse 15. Short verse, but a powerful verse. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Jesus says to his disciples now, if you love me, says Jesus, then you keep my commandments. Why do you think Jesus is keeping God's commandments? Why do you think Jesus is doing the will of God? Because Jesus is showing his love to God the Father by doing God the Father's will. I think this is an insight as to why Jesus obeys God. If you will, go to same chapter, chapter 14, verse 30. Verse 30. In the upper room discourse here, Jesus is trying to get his disciples ready for his departure. He's trying to tell them, I'm going away, but don't worry, everything's going to be okay. For a little while, you're not going to see me anymore. I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, but then again, you'll see me, and you'll have joy immeasurable. And I'm going to send my Spirit. You won't be left as orphan children. I'm going to give you my peace by giving you my Spirit. And so he's trying to prepare them for his departure. And he says here in chapter 14, verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and has nothing in me. And we know what this ruler of the world is going to do. We know what Satan is going to do. He's going to put it into the heart and mind of these Jewish leaders to make sure Jesus is crucified and nailed to the cross. Now notice verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. How does Jesus show that he loves God the Father? By keeping his commandments, by being willing to go to the cross, by being willing to lay down his life, to do what God the Father wants him to do. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. It's as if Jesus is saying, even as God the Father gave me commandments for me to keep, so that I can show my love to God the Father, so I'm going to give you commandments to keep so that you can show your love for me. That's what Jesus is saying here. Obedience is all about love. You obey the one you love. Let's go now to chapter 15. Chapter 15, still in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Now you abide, you remain, you continue in my love." Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments," in other words, if you obey me, "you will abide, remain, dwell, continue in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." I guess sometimes when I read a verse of Scripture, I'm always asking myself, what are all the different ways you can interpret it? Just so I make sure I have all my bases covered. Just so I try to make sure I'm not missing anything. And it's that little expression, "my love," in verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." Does that mean we will abide in Jesus' love for us, or that we will abide in our love for him? Could be interpreted either way. We tend to think it as abiding in his love for us. But it could mean, it's possible, it's just an idea, it's possible that it could mean if we keep his commandments, we're dwelling in, remaining and continuing in showing our love for him. The point I simply want to make is that we show our love for God. We show our love for Jesus through obedience, because that's how Jesus showed his love for God, by obeying his heavenly Father. Now go to Romans 5. Romans 5. And this is interesting here. Romans 5. So Jesus' obedience to God the Father was his life's mission. It's also an act of love. Romans 5. So I want us to see here how Jesus loves us, but also that his death on the cross is an act of obedience to God the Father that also expresses his love to the Father as well. So if you're there in Romans 5 now, Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been now justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath." That's the wrath of God through Jesus. "For if we were enemies," that is, enemies of God, "we were reconciled to God. We became God's friends through the death of his Son Jesus. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by Jesus' life." Now notice, if you will, go over to verse 18. Same chapter, chapter 5, verse 18. And here the Apostle Paul is discussing the grace of God. God's grace is so big, so powerful, so intense, so magnificent. God's grace, manifested in Jesus, can take care of all of the consequences of human sin. So now notice verse 18. "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men." That would be the sin of Adam. Adam disobeyed God, and so Adam's nature of sinning and rebelling against God passed through to all men, and all men became subject to God's judgment. Okay, so therefore, as by one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, all humans stand condemned before God, even so now, through one man's what? One man's righteous act, the free gift, that's the free gift of being justified before God, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. In other words, all people are savable. Everybody's able to be justified because of one man's righteous act. Now notice the next verse, verse 19, it calls that righteous act an act of obedience. Notice verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience," that would be the disobedience of Adam, "many were made sinners." Many were constituted sinners. Many ended up becoming sinners because they followed in Adam's course of action. They disobeyed God. "So also now by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." Future tense, potential here. They will be made righteous if they receive God's grace and believe in Jesus. But I want to focus on that little word, obedience, by the obedience of one man. One man's obedience. Jesus' death on the cross was an act of obedience to the will of God the Father. Aren't you glad Jesus was very obedient to God the Father? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, "Oh boy, that's too hard, that's too difficult. I'm not going to do that. That's asking too much, God." No, I'm glad Jesus willingly obeyed God the Father, expressed his love to the Father through obedience so that you and I could be saved and God could be absolutely just at the same time. Number three, the obedience of Jesus was tested and proven by suffering. The obedience of Jesus was tested and proven by suffering. Now let's go to Hebrews 5, if you will. Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I mentioned earlier in the service that it's easy to obey God if what God asks us to do seems just very simple, almost natural, easy. But what if God asks us to do something very hard or very difficult? Are we still going to obey him then? How much is God worth? How important is God? Is God really supreme? Is his will really final? Or do we chicken out when things are tough? Well, let's read about our Lord Jesus Christ here in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let me begin reading in verse 5. We'll read down to verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself. Right there we see the unselfishness of Jesus. He's not a self-seeking person. He did not glorify. He did not exalt himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, in other words, it's the result of God the Father's will. You are my son, today I have begotten you. And he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. In other words, God the Father appointed Jesus to be our high priest. Verse 7, who? Referring to Jesus now, in the days of his flesh, that's his experience on earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. That almost sounds like it might be a reference to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was heard. He was heard by God the Father because of his godly fear. Yes, God hears those who trust in him. Though he was a son, the Son of God, yet, notice these words now, yet Jesus learned, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. In other words, the suffering of Jesus is true, it's tried, it's been tested, and it's been proven. Jesus was put in the most difficult situation imaginable. He was put in the most painful situation imaginable. He was put in a situation that where any human being would want to run. But Jesus said, no. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, if you want me to be rejected and mocked and scorned and scoffed at and ridiculed and exposed and crucified and killed in this manner, if that's your will, I will do it, Lord. Because your will means everything. Your will is all important. So Jesus learned. He learned what it means to obey God the Father in the crucible and in the vice grip of suffering. Jesus really obeyed God. And he delighted to obey God. If you will, go to chapter 12. Since we're in Hebrews anyway, just take a peek at chapter 12, verse 2. The little phrase here that I want to draw to your attention is that Jesus endured the cross. In Hebrews 12, 2, we read, we as good believing saints, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, for the joy and the happiness that was out there for him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame and all of the disgrace and embarrassment and exposure and ridicule that went along with the cross. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured the cross because he loved God and he wanted to do the will of God. And then let's go back to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. We have one more passage here about the obedience of Jesus. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Here the Apostle Paul is exhorting the church at Philippi to be humble. And Paul can't think of a better example to point to than Jesus himself in the way that Jesus conducted himself in his death. So in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, verse 5, let this mind, let this attitude, let this outlook be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus' obedience was, well, it was for real. In the worst situation imaginable, Jesus still obeyed God, where most people would run the other way and seek for an easier life or an easier path. So Jesus' obedience is reflective of his life's mission and his life's passion. It's an act of love to God the Father, and Jesus' obedience was tested and proven by suffering. And I would submit to you that maybe my obedience and your obedience may be tested by suffering. That's going to bring out if we're a real man or a real Christian woman, really devoted to God. It's the suffering that's going to really bring out whether we're really an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. Let me quote now the ancient hymn by Isaac Watts. Perhaps some of you are familiar with the hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? The words go like this. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? And here he's thinking of the flood of evil. Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? The implied answer is no. This world is no friend to us. The last stanza, Isaac Watts says, sure, I must fight if I would reign. I must increase my courage, Lord. Help me then. I'll bear the toil. I'll endure the pain, supported by thy word. The words of Isaac Watts. And so we must think about, what am I willing to bear? What am I willing to endure for the sake of obeying God? What are you willing to endure and bear for the sake of obeying God? One final point this morning. Jesus' obedience is a model for us. Jesus' obedience is a model for me. It's a model for you. Just to state it simply, Jesus did what he did to save us from our sins so that we would obey God and sin less. Jesus wanted to make us to be like himself. Someone who has a passion to obey God the Father. Someone who delights in the will of God the Father. And someone who will become obedient in everything that Jesus has commanded us to do. So Jesus is not only an example for us to follow, but he himself actually died on the cross so that we would stop disobeying God and obey God with the joy and the enthusiasm he had as well. Well, with Good Friday coming up, I want us to think about the obedience of Jesus and what Jesus endured for you and for me, and how that, his death on the cross, is actually considered an act of righteousness or an act of obedience to God. So may God help me to be more obedient than ever. May God help you to be more obedient than ever, especially in relation to our church and how we want to pursue our ministry here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come before you, and Lord, we thank you that Jesus, in spite of the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. He did your will. He did your will fully and completely and totally. He left nothing undone that was supposed to be done. He did it all. And Lord God, you raised him from the dead and you put him at your right hand in the highest position of honor in the universe. And Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to enjoy and delight ourselves in obeying you and doing your will. Help us to consider it an honor to do your will. And Lord, help us to realize once again, Lord, that you saved us through the shed blood of Jesus to make us into obedient people. People who just enjoy doing your will and have no other passion in life. Give it to me, give it to all of us here, give it to everyone who's part of Emmanuel Baptist Church. And Lord, we pray that you might use us, Lord, use us in some small way, or even in some big way, if you're so pleased, to just use us, O Lord, so that more and more men and women, boys and girls, will become obedient to God the Father Almighty. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our final hymn is a hymn about our obedience to God. 713. 713. Savior, teach me day by day, love's sweet lesson to obey. 713. And we'll stand and we'll sing all four stanzas, hymn number 713. Go ahead with the introduction there.